This Employee Screen University podcast is brought to you by Employee Screen IQ, smarter screening, intelligent hiring. My name is Jason Morris, and I'm the president of Employee Screen IQ.
Hi, this is Nick Fishman, Chief Marketing Officer at Employee Screen IQ. And today, we're talking about the state of Massachusetts. Particularly, they've enacted some new laws, the data security regulations, that are aimed to protect identity theft. These regulations took place on March 1st, and we wanted to give you some good resources for, A, what you need to know about the law, and B, how you can get in compliance with it. Today, we're lucky to be joined by Michael Kraft, a Boston-based attorney with over 25 years of experience advising businesses and individuals in corporate, business, and real estate matters. So thanks for joining us today, Michael. I hope I did that justice.
You did. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so Michael, I know you're an expert in this regard, so tell us a little bit about these regulations and what employers need to know.
The first thing that people need to know, I think, is that it is probably the most comprehensive legislation of its kind in the nation. It takes pieces from several different statutes, federal and state statutes around the country. This was designed to be sweeping, covering all sizes of businesses. It was triggered by the recent wave of large data breaches that involved some big Massachusetts companies like the TJX company, Hannaford supermarket chain, and so forth.
Okay, and as far as the regulations are concerned, in a very cursory way, employers now must do what in order to get in compliance?
Well, the steps they need to take are rather detailed. They are a relatively easy read in the regulation itself. But to simplify things for you, they need to create what is called a WISP, or Written Information Security Program. And that involves several steps, which primarily include doing an audit or review of your current security practices and determining what data you are receiving, where it's being stored, and where it may be vulnerable, and then creating policies and procedures aimed at protecting that data. And that includes physical security, things such as locks on doors, technical security, such as email encryption, and administrative safeguards, which would include training policies for employees.
Okay, and the types of information that this law is targeting is personal information primarily, correct?
That's correct. And okay. Personal information is a term that is defined under the regulation. If I can, I'll tell you a little bit about that.
Yeah, please.
Personal information is a combination of a person's name together with their social security number, driver's license number or other identification number, or a financial account number. So that could be a bank account number, it could be a credit or debit card number, it could be an insurance policy, and so forth. So it's pretty broadly based in terms of the name plus an account or other identifying number.
So from a human resource perspective, there are obviously going to be a lot of times where they're gathering that information, whether it be on the job application, whether they're conducting a background check. There are a lot of opportunities for them to retrieve that data. What do employers need to do in order to get in compliance? I mean, you mentioned some of the security protocols. Are there anything specific that you can point to?
Well, I think that one of the most important things, aside from the fact that they need to review the regulation, understand what it says, and have it put in place the Written Information Security Program, or WISP, where they need to be particularly conscious is especially about, number one, what they're collecting in terms of that sensitive information and what they're distributing. Here's an example. Oftentimes an employer, when they're looking at a new hire or a potential candidate, they're passing around information among several people who might be reviewing a particular candidate. Does that information need to contain that candidate's social security number? Probably not. So you want to look at situations where maybe you're sending around too much information to people who just don't need to have all of that. So one of the things that an HR department really needs to do is look at what they receive and then what do they do with that information and how do they secure it. Very often the HR departments will either keep paper records, or they will electronically enter it into some kind of HR software, or both. And they need to make sure that in each of those instances, where they're storing those records is not accessible except by those that have a need to know, as well as making sure that there's adequate password protection on the websites or software that they're using, make sure that they've encrypted that data if it's ever in transit, and so forth.
Okay, that's really helpful advice. Now, a common mistake, and I can just say common because I was the one who made it, is that these regulations just affect employers that are based in the state of Massachusetts. That's actually incorrect, right?
That is incorrect. The operating operating trigger for compliance is whether or not you have an employee or customer located in Massachusetts. So businesses located out of state, they could be out of the country. If they have an employee located in Massachusetts, they will have to follow these rules.
Okay, fantastic. As far as enforcement of the regulations, do we know anything yet about what the state plans to do?
Well, that is the big conundrum right now. As I believe you're probably aware, the regulation went into effect on Monday, March 1st, so it hasn't even been a week yet. The Office of Consumer Affairs put together the regulation, but they do not have enforcement power. The enforcement is charged to the state attorney general, and there has been no word from the attorney general in terms of what they're going to do regarding enforcement. I can tell you that the statute does carry with it some very substantial penalties. And a person who breaches this law, and the breach could be just the failure to have the written information security program, or it could be giving up information that they shouldn't have, a breach of the law carries with it a penalty of up to $5,000 per violation. But in addition, you may be liable for damages from the person whose information has been who's been compromised. So there's really the potential for a great deal of financial harm to a business that does not follow the statute.
So bottom line, employers, take note that as of March 1st, you have to have this policy in place, and certainly it's worth looking at and making sure that you're executing on that policy as well.
That's correct.
Okay. Michael, I think we pretty much addressed the subject, at least in a very cursory way. I appreciate your time today. If some of our listeners are interested in further counsel from you on this, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, thank you. I would be glad to give some information on that. The easiest way for them to reach me is probably to see my website, which is www.craftlawfirm.com, and that's Kraft with a K. They can reach me by email, and that's michael@craftlawfirm.com. Or they can call me, and that number is 781-707-3883.
All right, fantastic. Michael, thank you very much for your time today.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for your interest in this Employee Screen University podcast. For more information about this topic and more, please visit us at www.employeescreen.com or contact us at 1-800-235-3954. Thank you.